Hamas fires dozens of rockets into Tel Aviv and to Ashdod in response to Israel's attacks on the Gaza Strip and the regime's crackdown on protests in Jerusalem al-Quds. Press freedom advocates strongly condemn Israel's bombing of a tower in Gaza housing the offices of Associated Press News Agency and Al Jazeera. Global condemnation pours in over the deadly Israeli airstrikes on the Gaza Strip, with protesters in New York calling on the U.S. to immediately stop all funding of Israel. Welcome to the program. Our top story, Hamas's military wing, the Ezzedin al-Qassam Brigade, says it has fired scores of rockets at Tel Aviv and Ashdod in retaliation for Israel's attacks on the Gaza Strip. Media outlets say huge explosions were heard in Tel Aviv. Earlier, Hamas said it targeted the city with tens of rockets in response to the regime's attack on Al-Shati refugee camp. One Israeli man was killed after a rocket hit the city of Ramat Gan near Tel Aviv. The Ezzedin al-Qassam brigades also said they launched drone and mortar attacks on Israel's Kisufim military base. The group says it is prepared to bomb Tel Aviv for 6 months in a row. Hamas has recently stepped up attacks on Israeli targets in response to the regime's aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip. A UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says he's been deeply disturbed by Israelis' bombing of a high-rise building in Gaza which housed several international media organizations. This comes as press freedom advocates condemn the attack as an attempt to silence journalists covering Israel's ongoing offensive. Also, the director of Al Jazeera called on the international community to condemn the, quote, barbaric act and hold Israel accountable for targeting journalists. Meanwhile, the UN chief expressed dismay over the increasing number of civilian casualties as Israel launched new attacks on the Gaza Strip for the seventh straight day. At least 145 people, including more than 60 women and children, have been killed in the aggression, which has left nearly 1,000 others injured.
Israeli airstrike destroyed a high-rise building in Gaza City that housed offices of some international and local media, along with residential apartments, as the escalation continues in the occupied territories. The strike came hours after Israeli jets targeted a Shatta'i refugee camp in western Gaza, killing 10 Palestinians, all of them women and children. Hamas said the attack is indicative of Israeli regime's helplessness in the face of Palestinian resilience.
At the time, the civilians, including the journalists, should have special protection during the crimes. Israel forces target the building where these buildings have press offices. It is an attempt to prevent the picture and what is going on. It is completely against the international law and international human rights law.
Israel has ramped up its military aggression to include artillery and tank fire. The escalation has fed fears of a return to a long-term war between Israeli regime and Palestinian groups.
The previous nights were extremely horrible in all parts of the Gaza Strip, from the north to the south. We appreciate the significant role of our resistance front in defending us. This is all for Jerusalem al-Quds, and we won't give up.
This is a violation of the international law, and Israel should be held accountable to all these crimes. We are civilians, and Israel continues to target residential areas. Children are the main victims of these attacks.
Israeli warplanes struck multiple targets in Gaza overnight, while Palestinian resistance in response fired rockets into occupied lands by Israel. Observers here say that the main victims of these inhumane attacks against the Gaza Strip are civilians. Palestinians call on the international community to hold Israel accountable for this violation of international law. Ruba Shavit, Gaza.
Well, to discuss these latest developments in the Gaza Strip, I'm going to bring in journalist Issam Adwan, an advocate with We Are Not Numbers, who joins us via Skype out of Gaza City. I really appreciate your time, Issam. Your understanding of the situation, 7 days in, and of course 145 people killed, but at the same time, as a Gazan, I guess you can take some pride in saying that, you know, the Ezzedin Qassam brigades and Hamas, people in Gaza, can at least have a sigh of relief that they have had their own share of retaliation.
I am certain the context is not properly set in this, because I'm certain when we are talking about the ongoing aggression in Gaza, we're not talking about a symmetrical powers, equivalent powers. Hamas is in no way, or the political parties, the resistance parties, they are in no way close to the fronts of the military, of the Israeli military occupation. Neither we have warplanes, for instance, is why when we talk about the results, it's a brutal force happening on Gaza, massacres committed of civilians, of including children and women. And I believe this is the proper context to be used, that it's in an ongoing genocide, ongoing aggression happening in Gaza. We have witnessed that during the last of three wars, and this is the fourth one. Children are dying. We are seeing now videos and photos of dead bodies, shattered bodies of children. And this is the proper context to be said that there is no equivalent in powers.
That I know, of course. And of course, you know, what I meant by saying that was the fact that, you know, it's for the first time that you see, you know, an aggression of some kind was happening elsewhere on the Palestinian territories, in the West Bank, you know, in the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And you see this kind of unity coming up, so much so that actually we are seeing, don't you agree, Sam, at least, that, you know, this type of, you know, rocketing and sending bombs over Tel Aviv and Ashdod and other places in Israel, you know, at least in itself, with this volume that we what we see today, is a great development, if not the first of its kind.
I believe, I wouldn't call it great, but I would call it a necessary self-defense action, because Palestinians have been suffering this ongoing ethnic cleansing for the past 73 years with an absolute silence from the international community. No sanctions imposed in Israel. The U.S. administration has been funding Israel with a $3.8 billion per year directly going to fund the military occupation, the implementation of checkpoints in the West Bank, the land theft of Palestinian, the land theft of Palestinian homes and Palestinian villages. And what could the Palestinians possibly do other than defending themselves? We have protested, for instance, during the last of three years during the Great March of Freedom. We have protested peacefully with bare souls and bodies. Still, what we have encountered with live ammunition, explosive bullets, tear gas, sniper rifles with silencer, we didn't even know that people are dying next to us. And at this moment I'm talking to you, I don't know when my house is going to be bombed. I don't know if my children are safe. I don't know if myself is safe. This is the realities. This is the harsh realities that we are living for the past 15 years. And this is the harsh reality the Palestinians have been encountering since 1948. Still, the international community fails to fit those heavy prices that we're paying day by day. And if you don't know that Gaza is suffering without a war, we have been caged. We have been caged in this 365 square kilometers with an absolute policy to suffocate everything about our humanity. We barely find drinkable water. People barely can find food to feed their children. We don't have shelter. We don't have economic, medical expertise and equipment are rarely found. And what we have to deal with is Israel is bargaining from time to time. This is strong policy that they have the right to assassinate, they have the right to launch war on Gaza, they have the right to bomb, and we have no right to respond. We have witnessed that during the war of 2008, 2012, and 2014. This policy continues. And if we remain silent, Israel would generously, as they say, generously grant us those crumbs of rights, that we have little bit of rights to travel, little bit of rights to use our natural resources, little hours, a few hours of electricity day by day. On the context of electricity, I was unable to join this call earlier because of the electricity. Huge bombings happened in my city, targeting civilians, targeting infrastructure, affecting my power and my internet connection as well. Those are the realities that are worthy to be discussed, not the rockets of Hamas, not the context of being proud because of those rockets, because trust me, those rockets shouldn't be there as much as the occupation. The occupation shouldn't be there. Long time ago, Hamas would have never been existed without this occupation. It's just means of resistance and means for people to respond, because people are dying. People have been dying for the past 15 years, dying because of the lack of food, the lack of water. Scientists have expected Gaza to be unlivable by 2020, and here we are, May 2021, and we are dying in so many ways you have no idea about. Still, I would be glad if we focused on the context of this inhumane brutality of this ingoing genocide, better than talking about rockets.
Of course, you know, and that issue, is the focus of many of our programs. You know, in this one, we want to focus on that as well as, you know, this two news items that I just read. You know, one about, Ezzedin Qassam brigades, saying that they are going to be able to continue bombing of Tel Aviv and other Israeli cities for the next 6 months if need be. And of course, the other issue that I'm going to ask you questions about, and that is why we're focusing on that. I totally get your point. Now, in light of what you said, and so much that I have got to know the way you think about these rockets and the context, the way you put it, I don't think you're going to have you're going to hold a high value in the fact that Hamas is able to rocket Tel Aviv or any other Israeli city for the next 6 months, because according to what you said, you would very much wish that peace existed and those rockets never existed in the first place. Now, in light of what they have said, do you think this is good news or bad news? This is necessary, unnecessary? What kind of compromise should be there? Is this really the way to go forward, this rockets, even if they're available for the next 6 months?
I believe it's not a matter of being good or being bad, because I told you, people are dying in so many ways, and there is no way, absolutely no way, for those people to defend themselves. We have witnessed there's a human rights violation happening in Gaza. In Sheikh Jarrah now, you can witness the peaceful protests happening in Jerusalem. Still, faced with the brutality, with killing, detention, including the children and women. So what means...
I'm sorry to jump in there. So you're saying that these rockets, Issam, these rockets have not been the deterrence that Hamas or the people of Gaza had hoped? Is that what you're trying to imply?
No. I'm trying to tell you that this is not the context for the discussion. I believe there are worthy topics to be discussed. When it comes to rockets, as I mentioned, one example, we have protested at the eastern borders of Gaza, their souls and bodies. Do you think Israel really needs a reason to violate human rights? They have been doing so for the past 73 years, since the very first day of the Nakba, land theft, forcible expulsion of Palestinians, and forbidding Palestinians of the diaspora to come to visit Palestine. And I mean, talking about the Israeli citizenship, how you can get it if you are Jewish, if you are believe in the Jewish religion, and if your mother is a Jewish, you can go straight direct to Ben Gurion asking for the Israeli citizenship. So what we're talking about is an ongoing, as I told you, is an ongoing depopulizing and uprooting of Palestinian identity. And when it comes to Gaza, we have absolutely no option but to defend ourselves as well.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Issam Adwan, journalist and advocate of We Are Not Numbers out of Gaza City itself. I really appreciate it, Issam. I really hope that you can take some rest. And God forbid, what you said about you not knowing, what's going to become of you. I totally understand it. I realize it. I wish you the best. Let's just move on to some other stories regarding the same issue, of course. The commander of the Quds Force of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps stresses the country's continued support for the Palestinian resistance. Brigadier General Ismail Qa'ani made the pledge during a phone call with head of Hamas's political bureau, Ismail Haniyeh. Qa'ani hailed the Palestinian resistance, its advanced performance, and its ability to defend Palestinian people. He also strongly condemned what he called brutal crimes of the Zionists against Palestinians, particularly people in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of Jerusalem al-Quds and the Gaza Strip. Haniyeh, for his part, praised Iran's support for the Palestinian people and said the Battle of al-Quds is the battle and the cause of all Muslims. Fresh rallies are held across the world in condemnation of Israel's deadly aggression against Palestinians in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Protesters hit the streets of the Australian city of Sydney and chanted slogans against the Israeli regime. Rallies were also held in the Tunisian capital. Meanwhile, Iraqi protesters descended on Baghdad's Tahrir Square to voice their support for the people of Palestine. Lebanon people staged a demonstration along the separation barrier with Israel chanting slogans against the occupying regime. The Turkish capital of Ankara was also the scene of anti-Israeli demonstrations. In the U.S., pro-Palestinian activists gather outside the Museum of Modern Art in New York calling for an immediate end to all funding of the Israeli regime. Other cities in the U.S., including San Francisco and Washington, D.C., witnessed similar demonstrations. In Europe, hundreds of protesters rallied in Madrid to show support for the Palestinians. A pro-Palestinian gathering was also held in the Italian capital of Rome. People in Berlin also organized a protest to voice solidarity with Palestinians, while thousands of people marched across London to protest Israeli atrocities against Palestinian people.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
COVID vaccines alone will not get rid of the virus in the immediate future. SARS-CoV-2 is spreading rapidly. 10 to 20% of the tests globally turn out to be positive, says Nolan Rapoport, journalist, in an article published under the heading, "People who get vaccinated may still spread the virus and other things to know about COVID-19." Stay tuned for the details, please. Dr. Michelle Carbon of the University of Hawaii Cancer Center and Department of Pathology and an international team of colleagues recently wrote an article, a kind of state of the research summary for the Journal of Oncology, that provides reliable, easy-to-understand information about COVID-19 that is both important and not readily ascertainable in the circus atmosphere of our news media. Here are some highlights. First, the correct terminology. The name of the novel coronavirus is SARS-CoV-2, and it causes a disease called COVID-19 in approximately 30% of the people who are infected. Masks and social distancing help prevent infection, but the only way to be sure that you won't get the virus is to stay home and not have visitors. It's that simple. But this would require us to sacrifice our normal living routines, such as spending time with friends and family, going to restaurants and shopping centers, doing our jobs in a social setting with colleagues, the things that define our lives. Is it worth it? How to manage the risk? Infections occur almost exclusively in enclosed environments. The virus flows in the air as aerosol. Open the windows and the risk of infection drops drastically, according to Carbon and his colleagues. The more crowded the environment, the higher the risk of infection. For example, the risk is very high in a crowded, air-conditioned bus with closed windows. However, the crowded environment of a modern airplane is comparatively safer, they say, because the air in the cabin is filtered and it is exchanged entirely with outside air every 2 to 3 minutes. Because we congregate inside with closed windows during cold winter months, the risk of infection is higher and more likely than. We currently are diverting our attention and resources to trying to contain SARS-CoV-2 infections, which in turn is reducing efforts to prevent and treat cancer and other critical diseases. This could cost many lives. Carbon and his colleagues note that the National Cancer Institute, or NCI, estimated that this could be responsible for approximately 10,000 additional colon and breast cancer deaths because early cancer screening for those diseases has largely been suspended. Moreover, NCI's estimate did not consider other cancer types, and it assumed that all would revert to normal by January 2021, which didn't happen. The actual number of collateral deaths may be much higher. According to Carbon and his colleagues, approximately 70% of SARS-CoV-2 infections are asymptomatic, but testing largely targets people who have symptoms. Consequently, we are underestimating the magnitude of infections. We also are overestimating the deaths caused by COVID-19, they say. Anyone who dies who has tested positive for COVID-19 is counted as a victim of the virus. We do not determine whether virus was the main cause of death. 3 in 4 seriously ill patients are men, and most fatalities occur in older individuals with pre-existing conditions. COVID-19 deaths in those younger than 40 with no pre-existing conditions are very rare. RNA vaccines use new technology that has not been applied to mass vaccinations previously. Antibodies are the proteins produced by the immune system that protect us from infection. Approximately 95% of the vaccinated subjects have developed IgG antibodies, which should protect them from the virus. But these vaccines have been tested mainly on healthy adults younger than 60. The few older individuals who have received the vaccines produce fewer IgG antibodies. The vaccines haven't been tested on children. These vaccines will not stop the spread of COVID-19. IgG antibodies circulate in our blood and protect us from a systematic infection, that is, from viruses spreading inside our body and making us sick. A different kind of antibody called IgG protects the body's muscle surfaces such as the nose, pharynx, and intestine. So far, no clinical trials are being performed on vaccines that produce IgE antibodies. The vaccines being tested only produce IgE antibodies. This means that the SARS-CoV-2 virus can still infect surfaces of vaccinated individuals. IgE antibodies from their vaccinations should stop the virus from spreading inside their bodies, but virus that grows on the surfaces in their bodies can spread to other people. However, people who are infected produce both IgE antibodies, so once they have recovered from the infection, they are safe. Reinfections are extremely uncommon. When more than 60% of the population have antibodies that protect them from the virus, viral spread will decrease because the virus will not be able to find susceptible targets easily. This is called herd immunity. No one knows how long herd immunity will last, but for SARS, which is caused by a closely related virus, it lasts several years. The main or only reason to vaccinate children is to protect adults, according to Carbon and his colleagues. Children, except those with some serious diseases or genetic conditions, generally do not get sick with COVID-19. COVID-19 vaccinations cause pain, fever, and headaches that last a few days in most adult recipients. We do not know what the side effects would be in children. The fact that vaccines currently being tested will not produce IgE antibodies would not be a big problem if everybody were to be vaccinated, but that isn't likely to happen. Therefore, these vaccines alone will not get rid of the virus in the immediate future. SARS-CoV-2 is spreading rapidly. 10 to 20% of the tests globally turn out to be positive. Therefore, according to Carbon and his colleagues, a combination of vaccinations and infections should produce herd immunity soon, possibly by June, when COVID-19 will decrease and hopefully almost disappear soon after. Meanwhile, more effective treatments are being developed, thus the death rate from COVID-19 should decrease in coming months.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman. Allah who is Al-Mannan.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Haider al-Bahadli, and today we have our dear esteemed guest, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Sayyid Muhsin, salamun alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
It's a pleasure to have you here, Sayyid. Sayyid, we have a very important question. Actually, it's a question that many people ask, especially in this time of equality and talking about inequality between sexes. So the question is as follows. In paradise, is there males for the females to marry, like there is in the holy text mentioned that there are some women for the men to marry? Is it the same thing for believers who are gained paradise and they enter paradise? Can women also marry men over there, or how does it work, Sayyid? Please explain.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have a problem in when we look at the translations of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in understanding the verses of the Quran, it's been wrongly interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the Quran, when Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O those who believed. Mm-hmm. Now, amanu itself in the Arabic literature is the masculine verb.
Exactly.
It's a masculine third person plural verb.
Mm-hmm.
But when Allah uses Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu only, it does not only include the men only. It also includes the women.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally, Ya ayyuhal mu'minun, for example, O believers. Now, it's a masculine word, mu'minun, ism, word, a noun. But obviously, generally, when Allah talks to the whole mankind or all the mu'mineen, it does not differentiate between the believing men and believing women. There are some verses in which we have mu'minun wal mu'minat, for example. Uh-huh. But when Allah is talking generally to the whole Muslims, like Muslim world, or those who believed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that also includes the women as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something which we need to first clarify. We need to understand the language of Quran,
mm-hmm.
or the original language, which is Arabic, that generally in a public, when someone says, O mankind, Ya ayyuhan nas, it means like it also includes the woman and the men, both. So the men and women also included. Now, let's start from the chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
from the beginning of the Quran, if someone wants to refer to the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 2, verse 25. Mm-hmm. It's on page 5. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Now, this is أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Allah has said, give glad tidings to those آمَنُوا who believed وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, they did good deeds, or they perform good deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ, that for them جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Mm-hmm. There are paradises from below which, like, there are rivers, like flowing rivers. Yeah. Now, this part of the verse does not say give glad tidings to the men only.
Exactly.
It's for the women as well. It's for both of them. Now, the continuation of the verse is kullama ruziqu minha min thamaratin rizqan. They all will having the rizq, a good mm-hmm. sustenance from it. And there are like many fruits. قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا. Now, the last part is وَلَهُمْ, and for them, فِيهَا, in it, أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَةٌ, there are زَوْجِز, pairs. أَزْوَاج is the plural form of زَوْج or زَوْجَة. Okay?
Husband and wife.
Husbands and wives. Mm-hmm. It's basically pairs.
Mm-hmm.
زَوْج means pair in Arabic. It exactly. also means husband and wife. It also means pair, the other pair, mm. spouse. Mm. Now, when we say spouse or spouses, it does not mean this spouse will be only lady
mm-hmm.
or will be a male.
Exactly.
It's for those who have done good deeds. They are in the paradise. For them, there are mutahara, pure
mm-hmm.
pairs or the spouses. وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدٌ, and they live there forever. They live abode by. So this verse and the verses like this tells us that when Allah is talking to both.
To both genders.
To both genders.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever does the good deeds. Now, the question is, what will happen to the pairs or the spouses who are in this world? Now, one thing which we need to make sure, there is another discussion in the Quran, that sometimes Allah refers to Hurul Ain,
mm-hmm.
Which is generally been translated as a lady who is mm-hmm. very beautiful, an angel, a beautiful mm-hmm. angel, who has the female gender. This is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is wrong. Why? Because soul itself do not have any gender. Like when we refer to the soul, mm-hmm. it does not have any gender. It's this world in which we have like the male body or a female body. According to some ulama, they say, like, because the soul does not have any gender. Also, when it is said that you will marry the Hurul Ain, there is not mentioned that only men will marry. The way I just explained that Allah said, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, for example.
Exactly.
So there are the Hurul Ain, which are the servants, which are the angels. Now,
whoever does the good deed and he reaches to that rank, they will marry or they will have a Hurul Ain, for example, regardless of being man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, regardless of being man and woman. That's the second thing. The third thing is those pairs or those husband and wives who were the true believers and they both will go to the paradise. In some of the verses it is said like, and from the narrations that we have, they will also live there together.
Mm-hmm.
They also live there together.
There's this, the married people from the married, this world,
yes, from this
live
world
in paradise
who are,
together.
If both of them are going to the paradise, they will be there together.
And will
so for the husbands, I'll give the alarming news that if you go to that world, you're going to have the same wife.
Okay. And only one, and how does this work? Is he allowed to marry other women? Is she allowed to marry
other
men?
Yes, some of the ulama, they said, because the men will have over. One thing which we need to clear, that in that world, we do not have the lusts the way we have in this world. Because the lust that we have in this world, it's related to this material life.
Okay.
There are other ways of, you know, we can say, I don't want to use the word lust, but there is enjoyment, it's in another way. There is another body there.
Other desires?
Another way of having desires.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, in some verses even it is said like, if I can just find the verse, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they enjoy by looking at things.
Okay, they find pleasure by just looking.
Yeah, just by looking. How it happens, I don't know if you have seen, I will just ask my listeners to go and find on the internet those people who were in coma.
Mm-hmm.
They have said things which they have seen while they were in coma. And some of them, they said like their body was separated. Like
that out-of-body experience?
Out-of-body experience they had. In that, they were experiencing everything by just looking at it. For example, if they were thinking of to be on the right side of their like room, they were automatically were moved to the right side. If they were just thinking or looking at the left side of the room and they thought like I need to be there or look from there, they were moving that side. So by looking and by just, you know, wishing something, they are reaching to that thing, to that, you know, desire which they have. So in that world, this helps us, like the experience outside body experience which the people have, the things which they say, this helps us understanding the next world. And how it helps us, like when they say, like when I was out of my body, I was wishing to do that, I was looking at that, and I was doing this. Immediately the same thing was happening. There was no walking, for example. There was no, I wasn't wasting time in walking from like right to left side of the room. So these things helps us in understanding that when in that world, in hereafter, we are talking about the enjoyment, it's just, you know, by desiring something, and then they're going to have it. And obviously there are other narrations and the verses which says like, even if they eat food, it's not like they're going to feel like being full, and they do not desire more food or more things to eat. So
how do I apply this understanding to both couple, both genders, able to marry in paradise while being married?
No. It's not like it's not while like being married.
Okay.
It's not while being married. It's if they are married to each other, they will have servants next to them.
Of both genders?
Of both genders.
Yes.
Like for male, it's going to be like the male and the female servants in the shape of angels. You know, when we talk about the male and female, mostly it confuses us with this world. The way we look at this mortal world, the genders in this world, the way we see, it confuses us. Because we are trying to, match things. Mm-hmm. Like, is it like this or that? How is it? Is it like the way we see women's here and the way we have, like, if someone has the women servants and all those things, the way it's been narrated in the histories as well, the way people were using, like, the male servants and the female servants. Is it like that or something else? Now, this is something hard to explain. Why? Because We do not have any experience from the hereafter. But the things that we have in the narrations and the verses, it says, it's not like this world. The lust is not like this world.
So we can't say with certainty how it will be. How does this work? Like, I'm going to ask
yeah,
again.
Yeah, we cannot say certainly.
A married couple who are being granted paradise, Enzo's paradise, they have servants of no gender. A no gender servant who will serve them. Both of them, many of them, certainly many of them, are they able to find pleasure with these servants? Is the woman able to find pleasure with the servant? Is the man able to find pleasure?
Well, it depends how you define pleasure then. That's the main question. That's the main part of the question. That the
if I may ask, like the marital action, like married people
That's what I said. In this world, the lust that we have in this world, the relation that we have in this world with like a woman and a man, the way they have in this world, they're not going to have the same relation in hereafter. It's not like this, because there is no, there we do not have this physical body that we have right now. This lust and this enjoyment that you have, like between husband and wife or man and woman, the way you have in this world, it is because of this material body that we have. In that world, we're not going to have this body. This body is going to be, you know, it's going to be under the mud when okay. we die. Our soul do not take our body with us. It leaves this body. This is a cloth for this world. So remember that if we have this kind of enjoyment in this world with this body, this enjoyment you're not going to have in that world.
Okay.
Because this body is not there. And this is specific to this body. There are other things to basically like enjoy. And some of the interpretations mm-hmm. have mentioned, obviously, mm-hmm. there are the things that we couldn't reach. Obviously, you know, the intellect itself has not experienced the enjoyment which it should. Sometimes a scientist, for example, when he comes with a new invention or with a new idea and he reaches to that solution of the problem, he has a kind of enjoyment which he never enjoyed, even having a woman next to him. Mm-hmm. When you ask him, like, what,
like
can you describe this enjoyment?
Eureka.
He says, yes, I cannot describe it, but I cannot forget this for my whole life.
This enjoyment and pleasure.
So there are other ways of enjoyment as well. Yes. So we need to broaden our minds, inshallah.
We should widen our horizon. We thank you very much for the answer, Sayyid. I understand that it's a very difficult subject, but we reassure both genders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, as Sayyid mentioned in chapter 2, in verse 25 from Surah Al-Baqarah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant both genders all the pleasures and desires that exist in paradise. This is your host, Haider Al-Bahadli, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio with your program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Wassalamu alaikum.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. House Democrats pressed ahead on Friday, 14th of May, with a bipartisan proposal to create an independent commission to investigate the January 6th Capitol attack. After reaching agreement with a key Republican to drop his party's demand that it look at left-wing violence unrelated to the assault. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalist Nicholas Fanders. The piece is titled, Democrats Move Closer to Setting Up January 6th Commission With or Without GOP. Democrats pressed ahead on Friday, 14th of May, with a bipartisan proposal to create an independent commission to investigate the January 6th assault on the Capitol, after reaching agreement with a key Republican to drop his party's demand that it look at left-wing violence unrelated to the assault. But it was not clear whether GOP leaders, who have insisted any such inquiry, study Black Lives Matter and Antifa, a loose collective of anti-fascist activists, would go along with the deal. The uncertainty raised the prospect of a shutdown in the House of Representatives next week over the investigation and the Republican Party's reluctance to reckon with the deadly attack on Congress by a pro-Trump mob. The proposal agreed to by the top Democrat and Republican on the Homeland Security Committee would provide Congress with a nonpartisan government-wide accounting of what led to the riot and hampered the response by law enforcement, as well as recommendations to prevent a repeat. Modeled on the commission that studied the 11th of September 2001 terrorist attacks, the body would deliver its findings by 31st of December. Inaction, or just moving on, is simply not an option, said Representative Benny Thompson, a Democrat from Mississippi, who reached the agreement with Representative John Katko, a Republican from New York. The creation of this commission is our way of taking responsibility for protecting the U.S. Capitol. The proposal could break a partisan logjam that has persisted for months over the composition and mandate of such a commission. But Republican leaders in the House and Senate did not immediately say whether they would support it. Representative Kevin McCarthy, top Republican from California and the House Minority Leader, said shortly after the announcement that he had not signed off on Mr. Katko's plan and still needed to review its details. A spokesman for Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the Senate Republican leader, declined to comment. Still, the announcement of a compromise suggested that Democrats were prepared to simply go around most Republicans in the House, if need be. That would force GOP lawmakers to choose between embracing an investigation of a riot inspired by Donald J. Trump, which is likely to anger the former president and alienate their constituents who revere him, and opposing an accounting for the deadliest attack on the Capitol in more than 200 years. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the House would vote next week on the legislation creating the proposed panel. At the same time, she plans to move ahead with a vote on a long-awaited bill that would provide $1.9 billion to bolster the Capitol's defenses, reimburse the National Guard and other law enforcement for protecting the complex in the attack's aftermath, and cover costs relating to the coronavirus pandemic. Republican leaders have not yet endorsed the spending measure either, calling it premature. But Democrats believe holding a prompt vote will force GOP leaders to the negotiating table. The measure's provisions include more than $500 million to reimburse the National Guard, which has supplied thousands of troops to patrol the newly fortified Capitol, $350 million to create retractable fencing and new security screening sites at the complex, $160 million for hardening windows and doors, more than $175 million to protect federal judges and courts, and $40 million to fund prosecutors going after suspected Capitol rioters. It includes smaller pots of money to equip Capitol police officers with body cameras and increase protection of lawmakers as they travel the country. Many of the initiatives were recommended by a panel led by Russell Honoré, a retired Army Lieutenant General appointed by Nancy Pelosi to investigate Capitol security. The Capitol Police promptly issued a statement saying the funding would help the department move forward to meet our evolving mission. Of measures and the protracted deliberations surrounding them underscore just how significantly the violence has rattled and reshaped Congress in the months since the riot occurred, including by worsening its partisan divisions. The attack was one of the most violent in American history. More than 140 police officers were injured. At least five people died in connection with the rioting. The Vice President and members of Congress had to flee for their lives, and the Capitol building itself was badly damaged. And initial reviews by congressional committees and other government watchdogs have already turned up troubling evidence of avoidable intelligence and security failures that made matters worse. Proponents of a bipartisan commission argue that putting outside nonpartisan experts in charge of the fact-finding will improve the investigation and help calm partisan nerves. Some senators, whose after-action hearings on the attack have been bipartisan, feel the need for another inquiry is less urgent. An independent bipartisan commission will remove politicization of the conversation and focus solely on the facts and circumstances surrounding the security breach at the Capitol, as well as other instances of violence relevant to such a review, Mr. Katko said in a statement. Republican Representative Katko is among the most moderate House Republicans and was one of 10 in his conference to vote to impeach Donald Trump in January for inciting the insurrection. His position mirrored that of another of the 10 representatives, Liz Cheney of Wyoming, who Republicans purged from their leadership ranks this week for her vocal repudiations of the former president's election lies and her party's complicity in them. Liz Cheney said that Republicans did not want a narrow investigation into January 6 because it threatens people in my party who may have been playing a role that should not have been playing. I'm very glad that they rejected Leader McCarthy's suggestions that somehow we should dilute the commission, Liz Cheney told ABC News on Friday, adding that Kevin McCarthy absolutely should testify before the body about a phone call he had with Donald Trump as the attack was underway. But the two Republicans appear to be in minority. Many of the party's loudest voices have undertaken a concerted campaign to downplay the Capitol riot and deflect attention from it by pointing to the unrelated actions of activists aligned with movements on the left. Representative Louis Gohmert, a Republican from Texas, offered the latest example on Friday when he took to the House floor for an hour-long speech that argued that the rioters who smashed windows, clubbed police officers, and threatened to hang former Vice President Mike Pence that day had essentially been peaceful. Representative Louis Gohmert from Texas accused the Justice Department of abusing its power to harass and punish conservatives who have come to stage a nonviolent protest that day, whilst going easy on the looters and destroyers in Portland, Oregon. The overwhelming number of people caught up in this, quote, unprecedented investigations, as the Justice Department promises, they're actually nonviolent, peaceful Americans, Gohmert said. Their only crime was supporting Donald Trump and concern about the fraud Democrats have been telling us about in elections for many years. The denialism have left Democrats furious and flummoxed over how to respond. One of them, Representative David Cicilline of Rhode Island, who served as an impeachment prosecutor against Donald Trump, started asking colleagues on Friday, 14th of May, to support a resolution censuring a handful of the Republicans who had been most outspoken in misrepresenting the Capitol attack. The deal struck by Mr. Katko also included concessions from Democrats. After pushing for an agreement that would have given their party more power to choose who would serve on the commission, they accepted a 50-50 split, in which each political party would appoint 5 of the 10 members. Subpoena power would likewise be shared between appointees of the two political parties.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.